Whoops. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Well, if this thing can get tangled up and broken, I will probably end up doing that. It's a joy to be in a good Baptist church. It is a real joy. Now, I think I need... Do I need to turn this? Already on. It's good to go. So, the only thing missing tonight is my wife. I wish that she was here with us, but she cannot be. Another time, perhaps. It was in 1971 that my wife and I got saved. We were in Oklahoma City, and I was a young man, 23 years old, wrapped up in myself, my tools, my cars, not having any time at all for the Lord. Not a single bit. Tornado came, and the tornado, it tore up everything, and I had a neighbor down the road. Pastor, I didn't know at the time that he and his wife were praying for us two kids. And the tornado tore up our garage, car, tools were gone, everything was gone. And he came and he said, "Ray, are you okay?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, thank God." And I said, "For what?" I said, "Everything I've got is gone." Okay. "Everything I've got is gone." And he talked to me about the Lord, and I unloaded on this poor brother who was praying for a young man down the street to get saved. Well, a few months went by, and the Lord was beginning to work in my heart. And I went to church on a Sunday night, and my wife was home expecting our second child, and the pastor preached, and the message, just like that. Do you understand? Right to the heart. And I sat in the back, and I just started crying. I said, "Oh God," I said, "please, if you'll save me and take the drink out of my life, I said, I'll do my best to serve you." And that pastor, he stood up and he said, "If anyone would like to come, just come." And I stood up immediately, and I walked that old blessed aisle, and I fell down on the left-hand side of the communion table. I could take you to the very spot tonight. I really wish somebody had told me, write down the date. I didn't write it down. But the event, I know exactly when the event took place. And boy, my heart was changed. I went home, told my wife. Before I'd been saved maybe 40 minutes, 30 minutes, or just a little while, time enough to get home. And I walked in the door, and she said, "You look different." I'm looking, "Well, why do I look different?" She said, "You look different." I said, "I got saved." "You?" And she told me this. She said, "You holy Joe, you, who do you think you are? If anybody's religious in this home, it's going to be me." Wow. Well, I worked for Ford Motor Company on their assembly line. Monday morning, I walked into the place, the part of the plant where I worked, and one of the men, he said, "Oh, Ray, what'd you do over the weekend?" Oh, no. Now, there, as far as I knew, there was not a Christian in the whole bunch. And there was about 200 men in that shop. And those were the days of the intercom. Uh-huh. Not the internet, the intercom. And I said, I got blah, 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 blah. And what? And I got enough courage, and I said, "I got saved Sunday night." Boy, his eyes got big, and honest to goodness, he reached over and got the intercom. Took it off the receiver. Hoover's got religion. 200 men in that shop, and every single one of them got religious. Have you done this yet? Have you been baptized yet? Have you jumped over the pews yet? Have you done this yet? And finally, by the end of the week, I was fed up to hear with all their nonsense. And a big man by the name of Sonny. This is how God has a way of just turning everything around. All these guys had blasted me all week long. And this man, Sonny, he was a believer. But he came up to me. Men, you'll like this. Came up to me and he said, Ray, I heard something happen. I said, leave me alone. I don't want to hear it. He said, Ray, I'm for real. I looked at this brother and I said, well, how come I didn't know it? 20 years or so went by. I was in the Suburban Baptist Church in Moore, Oklahoma. I preached, and a big, tall fellow came up and hugged me, and I said, Sonny? He said, hi, Brother Ray. I had told Sonny, I said, were you ashamed of Jesus? Is that why you didn't say anything? And Sonny told me, he said, Ray, I'm not ashamed anymore. He said, I tell everybody I meet about Jesus Christ. And Sonny is my friend. I mean, he and I have stayed somewhat close over all these years. But oh my, how good God has been. So from 1971, when I got saved, me and my wife, we went to Bible college. And after just a little while, we entered the ministry full time. And so for all these years, we've been trying to serve Jesus. And He is a wonderful Savior. We may fail and we may do a lot of things, but our God will never fail. Jesus Christ is always, always there. And I've tried so many things and failed. I could write a book on failures. I really could. But my God, He has never failed. He's always been faithful, always been right there. And when Wanda and I went to Malta, there was three conditions to get into the country. You know, now as your pastor said, that's where Paul was shipwrecked and snake bitten. So we spent 14 years there. And the three conditions were, there had to be an ordained Baptist preacher. Well, I fit that. And then there had to be a congregation of Baptists on the island. What's a Roman Catholic country? There's not that many Baptists there. In fact, there wasn't any. And then there had to be a building that was certified by the government as a church. They didn't say a Baptist church, but they said a church. Well, my good friend and I went over to Malta. 1981 or 82. And we were standing in Valletta at the gate, and we were passing out tracts and witnessing. And two men walked up, and they said, what are you doing? And I said, well, we're preaching and passing out tracts and trying to win people and tell them about Jesus. He said, are you a Baptist? I said, yes. He said, well, this is my brother. I'm Tomas, and this is Winsu. And we have been praying that God would bring a Baptist preacher over here. We've got a building that was given by Sir William Dobby in 1940 when the war was going on, with a 100-year lease on it, and it's certified as a church. And we've been praying for a Baptist preacher to come over and start a Baptist church in Malta. And I'm just about ready to jump to this ceiling. I just thrilled to death. And me and my good friend, we danced around with these two brothers and went down and saw the little building. And God brought us into Malta. We stayed there 14 years. Well, at the end of those 14 years, near the end, we started a refugee ministry. And there was a lot of people from Eritrea, which used to be part of Ethiopia, and Ethiopia and Kenya and Uganda and all over East Africa. And they started coming in. Well, our little church was a Maltese church. And all of a sudden, we had Congolese over here, we had this group over here, we had another group over here, and it was like the United Nations in that church, Pastor. They had little headsets, and there'd be a group over here speaking French, and a group over here speaking Swahili, and a group over here speaking something else. And oh my, God began to touch my heart. And my wife looked at me one day and she said, "When are we going?" I said, "Where?" She said, "I don't know which one of the countries, but I know God is speaking to your heart the same as He's talking to my heart." And I said, "I'm not sure which one." And she said, "Well, whatever the Lord speaks to your heart about, I'm ready to go." And Eugene Worley, do you know Brother Worley? You do? Okay. Well, Brother Worley, I didn't know him. Brother Eugene Worley called me one day and he said, "Brother Ray," he said, "I'm Eugene Worley and I'd like to invite you to come over to Ethiopia and visit." Now, I've been around the block a time or two and I was putting one and one together and it came up that they're looking for a new missionary. So, Wanda and I went over and we spent 10 days there with the Worleys. They became our good friends. You know what happened? The Lord, one night we were praying and the Lord spoke to my heart, spoke to hers, and I looked over at her. I said, "Well, what did He say to you?" She said, "Stay right here." And I said, "He did the same thing to me." And we've been there for 20 years. That's God. Listen, I could tell you story after story after story, but I want you to know something. That little video, by the way, that was an older one. I've got a newer one that would have been a little better for us. But it shows so much because probably one-third of the population of Ethiopia is under 15 years of age. Lots of kids. And we've always been looking for souls, and so we started in a high school. And we began to pass out tracts and talk to kids. And a young man came up who was 15. His name is Teddy Getacho. He is now the pastor of the church. And started when he was 15. And now he's 35, I guess, married, has two kids, pastor to church, one of the best preachers in the country. Just a very godly young man. We've got 8 churches that we've started, and then there's probably another 10 or so that we've helped other missionaries and other nationals to start as well. So we've been busy for the last 20 years, but boy, this building that God gave us, we saved enough money to where we could buy the land. And then, you know, your missionary support, just like you're talking about right here. Well, our missionary support would come in and we'd have a few thousand dollars and we'd spend every nickel of it on cement and blocks and building materials and all the other things that you buy. And then we'd give the workers a week off because the month's worth of money had stopped at 3 weeks. Isn't it funny how that works sometimes? Well, that's the way it would work, and we would just hire day workers to work with us, and they would do the hard work, and we'd do the rest of it. And in a year and a half, that nice building was built. It's not anything like what you have here. You know that. I mean, it's just not. This is absolutely beautiful. But that one is functional, and it's a two-story building, and it's made out of block, and brother, it works, and it works very well. So that's what God is doing. I've told people, I'm 77, I'll be 78 in December. I wish I had another 20. Amen, preacher. You know, brother. You just get to the point to where you know a few things, and then all of a sudden the years are slipping by. But pray for Ethiopia that God will raise up other men like Teddy. We've got 8 evangelists that serve the Lord and do a great job. But oh my, we need 800, not just 8. Ethiopia has 120 million people. Only Nigeria in Africa is larger than Ethiopia as far as the population. All those souls. And brethren, they have the Orthodox Church and they have Muslims. And you know what? Both of them are works-based. They try to work their way to heaven, and it will just never work. It just won't. They need to hear the gospel. I could tell you story after story of people that have come to us, and they have told us, I've never heard. I've never heard this. When we go out in the countryside, they'll just tell us, why didn't somebody tell us? What about my mom? What about my dad? What about my grandparents? And you know, the truth is that if they haven't heard, it's difficult. You can't tell them they're going to heaven. And you certainly don't want to tell them anything else. So you just share the gospel. Take your Bible, if you would, for just a few minutes. Let me give you just a few minutes of something out of Isaiah 55. Look at this with me, please. Isaiah 55. Think about, if you would, just think about how many people are like this. They're thirsty. They're hungry. They're looking for something that will satisfy. And the same in America. Men and women are looking for something that will satisfy. And only Jesus Christ satisfies. Would you read along with me here in chapter 55, verse 1? Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. By the way, don't you? You know, we find life when we listen to the Word of God. We find life when we listen to the Lord. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now look at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Would you read with me from verse 8? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. here's the verse that spoke to my heart. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. That word means empty, useless, wasteless, and nothing there. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. I wrote in my Bible, Romans 10:17. You know Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Listen, God's word, if it goes out, it's not going to come back empty. Bless his wonderful name. It's just not. I don't care where you're at in America, mid-America, whether you're on the east or west coast, north or south, or in the darkest part of Africa or Asia or anywhere else. His word, when it goes forth, it comes back accomplishing what God wants for it to accomplish. So, just think a minute. In those first two verses, everyone that's thirsty, everyone that's hungry, and people are thirsting and hungering after things. You know why our world's in such a mess? It's because of us. As people, as human beings, not necessarily believers, but as human beings, we're hungering and thirsting after everything that it won't satisfy. It will not take care of our thirst. It will not take care of our hunger. And just like I was when I was just a young man, my cars and my tools and the things I could get my hands on, and boy, that was almost like God to me. Have you been there? Do you know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm saying to you. The world is hungry and thirsty for things that will not satisfy. And the things that really will satisfy, I don't want that. But I want you to know something. God doesn't change. The same gospel that saved Ray Hoover in 1971 can save tonight. And the same gospel that saved us back then, and the same message that called us one Sunday night, I think it was a Sunday night, or a Sunday morning, but a Sunday anyway, and called us into missionary service, that's the same tonight. And you and I, we can find that the same gospel, the same surrender, the same Holy Spirit, the same joy and peace that Isaiah talked about. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. There may come a time, my friend, when you're unable to seek the Lord. There may come a time, my friend, when you're unable to go to the field, to someplace and serve the Lord. You may not be able, health-wise, to go. You may not be able financially to go. You may not be able, and we can name a number of things. Seek ye the Lord while he's near. And that, I'm afraid that a lot of people, they get so busy and so caught up in this world that, Brother Ray, you don't know all the things I've got going on. Well, if you have that much, you've got too much. That's the honest to goodness truth. If you've got that much where that your life is just ready to explode, well, my friend, you need to get rid of a whole lot of that. I've got a son that he's got more money than what he... If he would just get his heart right and give about half of his money to me, it would take care of everything. He's got so much, and yet, you know, he spends more in a week than what I make in 6 months. And the guy, I know he's got a good heart, he's always doing something for his family, but he's so busy. Every hour, it seems like, of every day, just phone calls. He'll carry 2 or 3 cell phones. And he'll have another one in the truck. And he'll have this one calling him, that one calling him, and another one calling him. Sorry, Dad, can't talk to you. I've got this call. And his mom will call, and he'll say, Mom, I got 1 or 2 minutes for you, and then I got to... Just busy as can be, and yet it does not satisfy. You know what he told me the other day? We were in Puerto Rico together, and we stopped and we sat on a curb, and he doesn't do that very often. We sat on a curb and we just talked for about 5 minutes, not much longer, and he got a phone call. And he said, Dad, he said, I enjoyed that 5 minutes with you more than anything. He said, oh, how I wish we could have that. 5 minutes. Our world is too busy. Our world is so wrapped up. And time just, boy, it's just taking every ounce of energy you and I have got. Brethren, I want you to know we've got to seek the Lord. We've just got to. As a nation, I was thinking about this. As a nation, you know, humble yourselves. That's what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. Humble yourselves, seek the Lord while he may be found. Humble ourselves, take care of the things that really matter, and he will pardon, and he will heal, and he will do the things that are necessary. But we have got to lay aside some of the unnecessary things and really come to the Lord. I'm convinced that, boy, if you just have a little flash in the pan, you just go for a few months and then you're gone. That doesn't do a whole lot of good. We need things that will last, that people can trust us. And that's one of the things in Ethiopia that has happened to us. God has blessed to where that now men and women, they trust our pastors and they trust our evangelists, and they'll go out and they'll say, oh, you're with Pastor Ray? Yeah. And you know, when you get old enough, they call you pastor. I mean, on the field, I'm not a pastor over there. I'm a missionary. But oh, when you, I don't have the white hair yet, but boy, I've got the age. I think they do it as a sense of, we respect you and we want to honor you and your work here with the Ethiopians. Many times they'll come and they'll eat food in my home. And my home is always open to the Ethiopians. It's like an Ethiopian home. By the way, what a privilege when the people you're serving, they're not ashamed to come to your home. Your home is open to them. And they can feel comfortable coming into your home. That's what we have. And I may not be able to speak every word of the language, but if you have a heart full of love and if you have respect and things for the people that you're serving, you don't look down at them, and you don't act like you're the big shot and they're just little peons or something. Brethren, that's just not true. That's not the right way. We are men and women that have the Savior. And the Bible talks about the common people heard Jesus gladly. You know why they did? He didn't look down at them. He was their friend. The sinner could go and be with the Savior and find love and joy and peace. One last thing, and then let me finish with this. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Take your Bible for just one moment, please. Ephesians chapter 3. You probably know why I'm going with this. Verse 20 and 21. Our God is able to do, you know it? Someone said it. Exceeding abundantly. Notice it. Now unto him, our Savior, that is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the Spirit that worketh in us, unto Him, brethren, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know what? You've got a lot of Ethiopian brothers and sisters. You've got a lot of Kenyan brothers and sisters. You've got a lot of sisters and brothers from Uganda and from Somalia and from Sudan and from other places where we get the privilege to go and serve. You've got brothers and sisters over there, and they praise God in their church the same as you and I praise God in our churches right here. Now, they do it a little differently. Can I tell one funny story? I'm sorry, it's 8:03. I'll just tell this and I'll stop. There was a little guy. I mean, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years of age. And the Zulu people will jump up and down. And you know, they're tall. And they'll go, like springs in their feet. And this little guy, he didn't mind that I was in there at all. And sometimes I'm the only white face in the congregation. And this little guy was there, and he got into the music because they use a drum. I've had people say, I wouldn't use a drum. Well, what are you going to use? We don't have any electricity. I mean, you know, are you going to go like this? I mean, I don't know what not. And sometimes you don't have a guitar or whatever. But we had a drum, and he got into the music, and this little guy is jumping up and down, and I'm just about like from there to here, away from this little guy, and I'm watching him. And he got to doing that, and some of the older men, they said, keep him quiet. And that little guy, he just kept jumping up and down with the beat of the music. And I thought, oh God, I wish with all my heart that we could reach out and draw those kids. And we get some of them, but there are thousands of kids that don't know Christ. I've seen them drink out of mud holes. I've seen them eat stuff that is days old and probably half rotten. Boy, your heart just breaks over things like that. I've seen women that will have just one dress, and that one dress is used for everything. Kids that will go to school and sleep, their uniform, they have to have a uniform. I've seen it to where it's just thread. That's all it is. And not any cloth there. But we're not there as an NGO. And we're not there as a health organization. We're not there to feed them. And we're not there for a lot of things. But we are there to preach the gospel. And that will change not their lives. Well, it does change your life, but it changes the soul. And they're able to go to heaven all because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. When you support your missionaries, oh, brethren, support them. Leave a few Wendy's and McDonald's and the rest of them out during the week. Support your missionaries. And bring that money up to where it's not just the money. It's a means of reaching people. That's what it is. Oh, use your church. You've got a beautiful building here. Man, use it to be like a lighthouse, just broadcasting the gospel, pushing it out everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And you know what? When the time comes for you to go home, you won't be empty-handed. You'll be going home and have something in those hands that hopefully our Lord will say, well done, well done, well done. And that'll be enough. God bless you.